number of weeks, we've been in a series called Following Jesus. And this is one of those series that takes us way back to when we started. We sang a song a few weeks ago called, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. No turning back, I'll follow him. The things that we talk about a lot of times as we go through Scripture and as we grow in our walk with Christ, the things we talk about sometimes tend to get very, very specific, or we get into the bigger developing regions of our faith, and we think about we need to be looking at bigger and greater and more complicated and complex and working out things of our faith and things of the Scripture and understanding deeper truths. But sometimes it's important to look back and see the beginning, to look back to where we start, and to remember that some of the fundamental things, some of the foundational things, are not only the things that get you started, but they're the things that carry you through. We want to always go back to those things and keep checking back on them, keep taking a little a temperature. How are we doing in following? But following Jesus is a difficult task, because following Jesus, the scripture we've been using is in John chapter 8, verse 12. And Jesus says that he's the light of the world. He tells the people, I am the light of the world. The people that follow me will never live in darkness, but will have the light that gives life. But he goes on later to say that we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And so the idea of following Jesus is really this model that he talked about and demonstrated throughout his time on earth, which was the in authority and under authority. Remember the Roman centurion came to him and he said, I understand what it's like. I too I'm a man who has soldiers under me. I tell them, go do this, and they do it. I tell them, come here, and they come. But I'm also one that's under authority. And Jesus said, faith like this, I haven't seen in any in Israel. He got it. Jesus demonstrated it constantly. He said, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father doing. He understood being under authority, but he also understood that he had people that were relying on him, that were following him. He was one who was in authority, and it's that in authority and under authority model that is critical to understanding how we take following Jesus and turn it into a lifelong process. Because following Jesus means that we have to be constantly recognizing that others are following us. In fact, the more we grow closer to Jesus, the more we advance in our walk, the more others are going to start to recognize that something is different. Something is making you stand out. Something is making you react differently than other people do. Something is making you love when we could hate. Something is making you say nice things when you could say hurtful things. Something is making you react in uncommon ways that stands out apart from the norm in the world. And that kind of thing is noticeable. And that kind of thing is life-changing. But it puts you right in the crosshairs. It puts you in the line of fire, a very difficult position. When I was a kid, I was in Boy Scouts for a long, long time. And in Boy Scouts, they have these different leaders that are throughout the what they call the troop in Scouts, and they call them Scout Masters or Scout Leaders and different things. And when I was in Boy Scouts, my dad was one of the Scout Leaders in there. And I remember one year he would take us on hikes and take us on do all these fun things. And I remember one time for a kind of a funny joke gift, we got him a hat, and the hat had it was a cap like a baseball cap style, and it had two brims on it going two different directions, so two fronts to it. And across the top of the hat, it said, I'm their leader. Which way did they go? And I thought that was great. I loved that hat. I still love that hat. I don't know if he still has it, but that was such a funny hat from 35, 40 years ago. And as I was thinking about that hat, that's just thinking about God's word this week, it started to come up into me that idea of remembering that story I shared with you a few weeks back of going camping and having the flashlight. And I was in charge of the light. And I got out ahead and I was excited about where I was going, and I got where I was going, and all of a sudden I hear these voices from behind me saying, "Wait up, we can't see." I realized that in my zest, I had gotten so far ahead that I had forgotten to remember that people were looking where I was going. I knew where I was going, but I forgot that they were there. We ended last week talking about how distracting it can be in life, how difficult it can be to follow in life. There's so many things that want to get us off track. So many things that help us, that get us to lose our focus or get busy or get worried or get overwhelmed. And before we know it, we're consumed with so many other things that we can't see Jesus clearly. That we end up just going around and around in a circle and not realizing that Jesus is calling us forward. But I realize also that sometimes that distraction is not an external, but it's an internal thing. We can get into a place where we get so inwardly distracted, so focused on ourselves, so consumed by the things happening in our lives, that we forget the people that are around us, the people nearby, the people that are looking to us. You can go so get caught up in our own world that we lose our focus from around. And society isn't going to help you with this. Society is all about self-focus. Self-attention. But that isn't the life that Jesus calls us to. As we become leaders, as we grow and walk with Christ, as we go down that road and journey and become leaders in our own right, there are three really important things that we need to remember to check in order to be effective at what God has called us to. Number one, we need to make sure that our light is shining brightly. Number two, we need to know the state of our flock. And number three, to make sure that we are always pointing, carrying, guiding people to Jesus. Three things: internal, external, and goal-oriented. I want to break down each of these today and look a little deeper at what this looks like. On the internal side, I want to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, where Jesus talks about this idea that you are the light of the world. He prefaces it, though, with this other little tidbit. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its salty taste, it can't be made salty again. It's good for nothing except to be thrown out and walked on. You are light that gives light to the world, a city built on a hill. So don't hide your light under a bowl." What Jesus is saying is it's not wrong to self-focus. It's not wrong to do a double check of what's going on in your life. It's a good idea to make sure that you don't lose your saltiness. It's a good idea to make sure your light's not being hidden under a bowl. It's a good idea to do some self-checking and some self-focus often to make sure where you are, to ask God, "God, am I where you want me to be? God, am I doing what you are calling me to do? God, am I paying attention to the things that you're saying? God, am I aware of your presence in all of the things that I do in my life? God, am I being consumed by you? This is not bad. This is good. This is something we should do. This is something Jesus practiced when he would walk off to a lonely place by himself to pray, when he would find a quiet time. This is a good thing to do. The only time that it can get bad is when it becomes so much that we become disassociated from the world around us. When we become distanced from the rest of the people in the congregation or our flock or the church or the people around us. When we become outside of reality and we become consumed just with ourself and our own walk. If all you can see is you, there's a problem. It's not wrong to want to check. You should. But that checking has a purpose. See, like a lighthouse. You know the function of a lighthouse. It sits. Remember what the lighthouse does. Right? The lighthouse's job is to sit in the midst of the dangerous rocks and reef. The lighthouse's job is it's planted in the most difficult, dangerous spot. And its job is to make sure that it alerts and guides people around itself, not to it. If they go to it, they will crash. It's around themselves to what? Safe harbor. See, like a lighthouse keeper, you must tend that light often. You must go often up and make sure that it's polished and clean and bright and as shining as it can be. To be the most effective, to clearly guide people through the roughest storms of their life. Jesus' point in Matthew 5 there is to take stock of your light. Make sure that you know how important it is that that light shine. And check and see how it's doing. There are many, many things in the world that can hinder or shutter your light and can even put it out. And if you look at how Jesus teaches the people in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7, all of it, if you look at what Jesus starts with, well, let me show you. He basically talks about the things that will steal your light. At the end of the blessings, blessed are you, Beatitudes, we call them. He ends with this. This is one of those Jesus moments that you go, oh, Jesus, don't say that. That's not, you were so on and up, and then you bring it. He says, people will insult you. This is verse 11 in chapter 5. They will hurt you. They will lie. They will say all kinds of evil things about you because you follow me. But when they do, you will be blessed. Rejoice and be glad because you have a great reward waiting for you in heaven. People did the same evil things to the prophets who lived before you. And then he goes about talking. You are the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltiness. You are a light that gives light to the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. People don't hide a light under a bowl. They put it on a lampstand so that it shines for all the people in the house. In the same way, you should be a light for other people so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. But then he goes on. That's not the end of the sermon. That's the start. He says, don't think I came to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. And then he goes through and he says, teaching about anger. How should you? What will steal your light? Getting into anger in the wrong way, teaching about sexual sin, teaching about divorce, teaching about how to promise, teaching about how to fight back and not to fight back. Teaching about how to love people, how to give, how to pray, how to worship, the importance of money and the danger of money, how not to worry and how it can steal all of this good and this light and this life that's in you. Talking about judging others, about asking God for what you need, about the most important rule, and about the difficult way to heaven. And he spends all of this time talking about, he actually ends it with that soldier centurion. That's the next thing that happens. He spends all this time talking about the things that can make you lose your saltiness, that can steal your light. There's so many ways in life for us to lose and shutter our light. The most important thing to remember is that the light, your light, is purposeful. It has two really important purposes. One is for the people to see us. Listen to this little picture he paints again. He says, people don't hide a light. They put it on a lampstand so that the light shines for all the people in the house. Well, you turn that light, what happens? They can see you more clearly. But you know what else happens? You can see them more clearly. That lighthouse isn't just a beacon for the ship. It's also the person on the lighthouse can see where the ship is. They can see them and alert. They can see them and guide, do whatever they need to do. See, the light is twofold. It's a reciprocal thing. It's for us to be able to see them and for them to be able to see us. It's the internal as well as the external for us to be able to see who's around, who's following. All of our internal self-check. All our how is my light doing is meant to make us more effective in the kingdom of God, in the external. So how do we do the external? In the book of Proverbs, Solomon writes, I was reading this week and it just... it was so online with what we were talking about here that I had to share it. In Proverbs 27, verse 23, Solomon writes, he writes, to know the state of your flock, pay attention to the condition of your herd. Know the state of your flock. Pay attention to the condition of your herd. Give attention, it says in some translations, to your herds. We spent a lot of time last week talking about Jesus as the good shepherd. He was. How did Jesus know the state of his flocks? He walked with them. Jesus walked everywhere he went, and they were with him. He spent a lot of time with them. Physical time, in person, living life, doing things with them. And he asked challenging and specific questions. Who do you say that I am? What do others say about me? Will you leave me also? Jesus wasn't afraid to ask difficult questions because it gets at the heart. The difficult questions move to the point. Who is God entrusted to you? Who is God put in your circle? See, whether you have one person that's following you or that you're guiding, whether you have 50 people, 1,000 or more people in your flock, it makes no difference. If these are people that you are leading, discipling, influencing, then these are things you must do. Know the state of your flock. Walk with them. Spend quality and quantity time with them. Ask good questions. Get to know their heart. Get to know their soul. Then you'll be connected. Then you'll truly be that one body of Christ. Not saying, I'm their leader. Where did they go? I mean, isn't that what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 when he's talking about all the parts of the body? He has this one little moment that I think captures this so well. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26, God wanted the different parts of the body to care the same for each other. If one part of the body suffers, all the parts of the body suffer. If one part of our body is honored, all parts of the body share in the honor. It's unified. The body of Christ is a unified being, and it works in all of those specific small areas as well. Whether it's one-on-one, 50-on-one, 1,000-on-one, when one rejoices, all rejoice. When one suffers, all suffer. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're also to enjoy one another's rejoicings. Unified and reciprocal. What we pour in is also given back. It's a mutually beneficial relationship. Look at the proverb again, and I want to go a little further. The proverb starts, know the state of your flock, give attention to your herds. And then he goes on, listen, for riches do not last forever, nor does a crown endure for all generations. When the grass is gone and new growth appears, the vegetation on the mountains is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing, the goats the price of a field. There will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the maintenance of all your servants. What is he saying? He starts off with, you can't count on things to last forever. You can't count on the riches that you have. You can't count on any of those things. You can't know who's going to be in charge or what is going to change from one moment to the next. You can't know that. But you can know what you have put time, energy, and money and invested into the people that God has entrusted into you for the walk in the kingdom. Know the condition of your flock. Give attention to your herds. Because when those times of uncertainty comes, these are the ones that you have given to that now you can look to and know that they are there with you. They are there guiding along. They are there supporting. As you move along, this is meant to be one body of Christ, one unified, one reciprocal thing. And so it's critical as we go through this process that we not only maintain our light internally, but that we check on the status of those following after us externally who need our light. Recognizing, of course, this final point that it's not really our light that they need, right? See, we need to keep track of our internal. We need to keep track of our external. But we have to remember the goal. Just like the lighthouse. The lighthouse is there to point the way. Right? The lighthouse is there for quick or to guide to safe harbor. And so we are to point people to Jesus, the author and the defender of our faith. We are not the goal. He is. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We must always keep in mind, though, where we are leading people. Are we leading them to us, or are we leading them to Jesus? Leading them to us is a very dangerous place. Leading them to us is where the rocks and the reef and the shallow water lives. Why? We are unstable people. We are not fully formed in Jesus yet. We have fallibilities. We have things that can happen. We're not trying to lead them to us. We are imperfect. He is perfect. We are leading them to Him. That's what discipleship is. It's leading people to Jesus, navigating through the most stormy, difficult waters of life to point them to the place where the Savior of their soul is. Our light should always guide people to Christ. As they come closer to Him, as we guide them and bring them into that safe harbor, and they move closer and closer to Him, then they begin to take on His light. That's what discipleship is about. If they don't begin to take on His light, we're missing the point. We're not meant to make followers of us. We're making other followers of Him that look like what we look like, and all of us look like Him. As they come closer to Him, they begin to take on His light, and then they too become the light that gives the light to the world. And the process continues and has continued for over 2,000 years, and it will continue until Jesus comes. We are shepherds in this life, each and every one of us, following in the footsteps of the Good Shepherd. He's lit the way for us. And He's asked us to follow and then entrusted others to us so that they may begin to follow. In authority and under authority. Be aware of the state of your light. May it always shine brightly. Be aware of the state of your flock. May they remain connected and cared for. Be aware of your goal, always pointing yourself and others to Jesus, to the cross of Christ.